went in service. My wife and I married. He came about 3 weeks after we married, called me out of the house, and he said, "I'm going to join the Navy in the morning." I said, "Oh, no." He said, "Yeah, I'm going to the Navy." He said, "I ain't got nobody else I can depend on." And the way he depended on me wasn't a good way, but we stayed together. He went in service, stayed a long time. He lost 17 pounds without moving from behind one machine gun. Lay there. Lost 17 pounds firing that machine gun. And he was mean. He was literally mean. Before he went through the service and came back and shot a feller, he wasn't overbearing, but he got, they tell me, he got terribly overbearing. When he first came back out of service, he came and ate with us, and I witnessed to him and told him what Jesus had done for me, my wife, and I told him that I wish he would consider his way and turn from his way. But he wouldn't, and he went not too far in the same community where we'd run around together for years and opened up a beer joint. And I never went to it. His brother's little boy, or young boy he wasn't too little. The river was way out of banks, and he and another boy got in a boat, and they were catching drums of oil. The river had backed up. There's a place where they stopped barrels of oil back up the river. And they were just, the river would be full, and they were out there catching those barrels of oil, and an old ferry boat, the rope or the cable had gotten down under the water, and they turned their boat crossways, and it hit that rope and drowned one of them, drowned this boy's nephew or this man's nephew. And I stayed at the river a lot of the time for the specific purpose of witnessing to him and his brother. They never found the boy. They never did find him. He some way washed up somewhere under some sand or something. About a year before he got killed, I was going to church one afternoon, and I saw him about all 300 or 400 yards from his joint, and I pulled off on the side of the road and called him down to the car and took him by the hand, and I said, "C.T., I don't want you to die lost." I sat there and talked to him for I don't know how long, long time, prayed, and drove off. He had killed a man, and in the time between all this, it's too long to tell it. But about a year after I had witnessed to him the last time, him and a fellow got into a fight in front of a joint. They'd been out all night, and they don't know whether somebody gave this guy the gun or whether he already had it, but anyway, he stuck it around in his back and shot him in the spine and killed him instantly. The other one, was a lot older than him. He and his wife, he married a fine girl, and they had two fine children. He mistreated her, treated her like a dog, and she finally had to leave. Well, he lived by himself. Every Thanksgiving and every Christmas after we ate, Sister Burns would fix him a nice plate, and I'd carry him Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner, carry him tracts and pray in his house. He didn't do a thing but sit in front of the television, watch television, smoke cigarettes. Oh, it was a sight of a place for a man to live. But the last time I stopped by, wasn't it Christmas, I had carried his Christmas dinner, and I was just coming out of Birmingham, and I felt like I ought to stop, and I did. Went in, sat down, and talked to him, I guess 30 minutes. I always prayed. He never had before, and he didn't tell me I couldn't pray that time. But I got out and prayed and started to leave, and he said, called me by my name, and he said, "I like you," said, "I've always liked you. I'd like for you to visit," but he said, "I wish you never would mention this to me anymore." Oh, no. Oh, no. And I said, "Herschel, I'll grant your wish. I never will. But I said, let me tell you, would you mind if I tell you one thing before I go?" He said, "Oh, no." I said, "If you die like you are, I said, you won't be in hell 3 minutes till you remember every time I ever stopped by.
That's right.
And about 4 months ago, I guess, something like that, I got a call one day. And it was his son. He said, Brother Burns, we found Daddy dead. Said he'd been dead at least a day. And we want you for the funeral. Can you imagine? And that tore me up when I saw that picture of this dear man. And that tore me all to pieces.
God bless you.
They're in hell. Listen, folks. There ain't but two places to go when you die. If you've not been born again, there ain't nowhere to go but hell. I want you to pray. I've got a message that, again, I say it nearly sure. Something could happen that'll make you shout, but this message will nearly sure not make you shout. And I want to talk to you just a minute before I preach. Now, I realize this. When you preach a real straight message, there is some people that are really saved. And somehow or other, it creates, I guess, the flesh and the devil, and doubts creep in to the lives of saved folks. And I'm not preaching this to make you doubt, but let me tell you something about doubt. As long as doubt don't bear fruit, you don't need to worry too much about it. But when doubt goes to bearing fruit, and you begin to do the things that you did do back yonder, you better check up. It may not be a doubt. It may be Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
Now, there's something about doubt. When the devil places a doubt in your mind, if you're saved, you'll pray harder than you ever did. And you'll walk more careful than you ever did. But now, a lot of folks, and we have had a lot of preachers in our section, when their folks would get in trouble, they'd always make it be a doubt. Now, there's a lot of people needs to doubt. Our churches are literally filled with unsaved church members. And we need to deal with folks according to the Bible. But in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, I want to read one verse for a beginner. Verse 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, this morning, as when this young man stood up to preach, when I first got saved and the Lord called me to preach, I realized then, right then, I was responsible to God for every time I stood before a congregation. But now I realize I'm responsible for more than that. There's Brother Rainwater, as far as the group of preachers here, and the other brother here, that's, and he's already told me what his age is. And of course, I'm several years older than you, I know that. But we're about the only elderly people here, I mean elderly men. And these young preachers watch us. And I'm responsible. There's two or three young preachers in Alabama around Birmingham. They think W.W. Burns is as great as there is. I know better than that. But I'd rather die today and go on home as to betray the confidence of one of these young men. And I'm still human. I still live in a tabernacle of clay. And when nobody knows, when my wife don't know,
I'm laying in the bed or I'm off somewhere praying. Oh, God, give me this grace they're singing about. Now, folks, you don't store up grace. No, you don't store up grace. Don't you depend tomorrow of walking on the grace that you walked in today. You'll need some more grace tomorrow.
Amen.
I was reading one day when the children of Israel was going through the wilderness, and they told them to go gather enough, but just gather enough food for one day. Now, God had it fixed. There was one day they could gather enough for two. But you don't store up grace.
Yeah.
We'll need grace just a day at lunchtime, just like we need it now. We'll need it for the night service, just like we need it now.
Amen.
And this is a serious message. I want to begin reading in first chapter of the book of James, and then I'll tell you what I want to try to preach on. In James chapter 1, I could just jump anywhere here and it'll be good, but I'm going to start reading with verse 17. Read down through verse 27 and then tell you what I'm going to try to preach on. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now Jesus was begotten by the Holy Ghost. We're begotten, but we're begotten by the word.
Oh, yeah.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now we know, everybody here that knows anything, knows that we're living in a day and an age of deception.
Yes, sir.
Deceivers are by the multitude. But of all the people that I don't want to deceive is this man you're looking at.
Yes, right.
And I want to talk to you this morning about the most deadly deception there is, and that is self-deception.
Yes.
We have it twice right here in this scripture. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Then down into verse 26, deceiveth his own heart. This is so prevalent, if I know anything. Now you hear people say occasionally, not as much as I used to hear it. You hear somebody say, that fellow's told that lie so much he's got to where he believes it himself.
Yeah.
I believe we've got people that have been in the church so long and they've played church. They've kidded themselves, and they've hardened their heart against God when the Holy Spirit would come, and they've got to the place they really believe they're all right.
Yeah, right.
But their life proves, I want to say this, and I say this without fear of contradiction scripturally, 85 to 90% of the folks that's out yonder living like the world and claims they're backslidden, they're lost.
Yes.
They ain't never been saved.
Amen.
They've never been born into the family of God.
Amen.
Now, I know this. I know a saved person can get out of fellowship with God. I know that. But there's two verses of Scripture over in 1 John. One of them said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous.
Uh-huh.
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Yeah.
Well, that doeth and committeth comes from the same word, and both of it means to continue to practice.
Yes, sir.
If a man continues, a woman, boy, or girl, whoever he is, continues to practice sin, that man's of the devil.
Yeah.
The Bible said that. If a man's lifestyle is righteousness, that's his way of doing things, that man's saved. He's the only kind of a man that can constantly do right.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Yes. An unsaved person can't do right day after day.
Right.
I'm not preaching about perfection in the flesh. We don't any of us have that and never will have. But I want to tell you something. There's a difference in stepping off and slipping in the mud hole and laying down and wallowing in one.
Yes.
Now that ought to be simple enough to be understood. Our churches, for different reasons and because of different things, are literally filled with people that know nothing about the new birth. I remember when this slogan came out, and somebody here may remember, 1954, the Southern Baptist Convention put out a slogan, 1,000,000 more in 54.
Oh, yeah.
They got the 1,000,000 more members, but in 6 months' time, they couldn't jump 200,000 of them with a greyhound. We used to talk about, those Baptist people used to talk about other folks putting on membership drives. They ain't no denomination in the world can outbeat the Southern Baptists doing that. They're doing anything today to get them. And after they get them, they can live however they want to live in 9/10 of the Southern Baptist churches and some of the independents, for your information. They can live like the devil, and if they decorate the platter pretty good, they can stay in there and nothing said about it. And I heard all them things you fellas talking a while ago about the discipline in the church and the wheat and tares. I've heard all of them things. I've had the sad misfortune to, if I was going to be a preacher and be God's man, we had to turn some folks out of the church.
Yeah.
And it's not pleasant. I don't boast about that. But you come as to say, turn somebody out, and somebody say, oh, but now the Bible said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. He wasn't talking to Christians. Pharisees had brought that woman there. If they ain't nobody in the church that's close enough to God to demand that people live sort of right, we're in a mess. Yes, I'm telling you. Well, yes, I ain't been to school much, but I'm not dumb. Maybe dumb, but I ain't stupid. But I'm telling you, we've got this thing till folks can live any way they want to. I believe it was this past August. August, 2 years ago, I was preaching in a meeting down in Shelby County. One of the finest ladies, everybody thought. We had eaten in her daughter's home. She helped fix the meal. She was the kindest lady to her pastor. And she treated Sister Burns and me just like we were part of the family. Two other men had preached before lunch, and I'm sure the woman would have got saved if either one of them had given an invitation. But the pastor told me at lunch, said, Brother Burns, I want you to preach just after we get back to the church. I got up and preached. When I got through, I gave an invitation. And back toward the back on my left, sitting next to the wall, this dear lady in her 60s, way up toward 70. She came out from between what of the pew she's in, bawling like a baby, came down that wall boo-hooing, and came and didn't stop. She just fell in the altar. Another lady followed her down. Then I think maybe another lady or two came. They prayed a little bit, and everybody was amazed. What in the world is Sister Edwards doing there in the altar? And she got up in a little bit, tears streaming down her cheeks, and she looked up at the pastor and she said, Brother Frank, Jesus just saved me. He said, Sister Edwards said, I can call you sister now and mean it. He said, how long you been in the church? She said, 50 years.
Oh.
As sure as I'm looking at you today, there's some preachers that have got under Holy Ghost conviction and took it for a call to preach, and they've started out and they've made shipwreck, as sure as I'm here today. Just as sure as we're gathered here. And I told you in the beginning, I'll have to meet this message again. But hear me today. There's more to this than making a profession. Did you know something? I never heard the word decision mention anything about Christianity until the hour of decision came on the radio. Did you ever hear it before then? I never heard it. Listen to me. I took the dictionaries all I've got. I tried to get some connection between decision and repentance, and there ain't no connection. You hear me today? We're in a mess. We're talking about our churches being cold. They can't help but be cold when we've got as many people in them without the Spirit of God as have got the Spirit of God. That's what people don't like about you. You think I'm crazy? I know that. But God saved me. I'm talking about reach down in the bottom, in the muck, and pick me up and save me. Help me under Holy Ghost conviction. I saw myself wrecked and ruined and headed for hell. To gouge myself to go by the pool room. I didn't have to go ask the pastor, you think I can go back to the movie house? I had the teacher. The Bible said you have no need that any man teach you. The same anointing that you received at the beginning abideth with you forever. Glory to God. Self-deception. Deceiving ourselves. See, they look around and they see the half the other church members doing the same thing they are. Sure soothes their conscience. Makes them feel all right. Oh, yes. We're in trouble. I'm talking about serious trouble. You know why? I don't know why I did this. I don't know why the Lord put the Philadelphia church right between the Sardis church that had a name that was alive and were dead, and the Laodicean church, the lukewarm. I don't know why God put that Philadelphia church right between them. Now this is going to kind of shock your mouth. You know what I think? I believe that God put it on in the heart of men like Dr. John R. Rice, Lester Roloff, and men to begin the independent Baptist movement to let the Philadelphia church still be here. I believe us independents have the privilege, Brother Rainwater, to be the Philadelphia church.
Yes, sir.
You're exactly right. Everywhere.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Nothing deceiving about
any local congregation that's willing to get born again if they're not born again and take this Bible and conduct their business by any local independent fundamental church can be the Philadelphia church. He said to the Philadelphia church, I've set before you an open door and no man can close it. Second Peter chapter 2. There's some real strong doctrine here. I want to read quite a bit of it, beginning with verse 1. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now the Bible talks about teachers, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Now we've got some men, and some of them may be here. They have said that preacher and teacher, that is all same fellow. I don't believe that. I believe if it had to be any, just to put one of them in there. I believe there are God-called teachers. And I think it's very possible that we've got some men that are called to teach and they're trying to preach. You know, every once in a while somebody get a new pastor and somebody say, well, what about your pastor? Well, he's not much of a preacher, but he's a good teacher. Well, if he is, he ought to get out of the preaching business. Get where he belongs. There's a big difference. Teaching is giving instruction. Preaching is proclaiming a message. But listen, the pitiful part is not so much having that bunch, but the second verse is the pitiful part. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, I know you've done heard this. They've got something I've not seen it in print. Will, as soon as I can get hold of it. They got a group now that calls themselves the Fundamental Anonymous. You better believe that. And they're going to be that bunch that calls you and I that preach separation.
Yes, sir.
And preach living right.
Yeah.
They're already calling us legalists. Pharisees. And some of them that's doing it used to preach harder against any of it than we do. But you see, you ain't going to grow fast in this that we're preaching. And in order to get a big crowd, they're going to do just like those that's gone ahead of us. They're going to lower the thing as low as they have to get it to get the crowd. Well, hear me, the crowd's going to hell. The Bible said that. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that. Narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Why is there just a few? There ain't but a few seeking it. Brother, there ain't but a few want the narrow way. They ought to be religious. They ought to be recognized. Bring reproach upon the name of the Lord, the church, and everything else. I'm against it. I might have said that I won't get too many meetings. I ain't candidating for meeting. Let me stop and tell you something. I walked around this morning. My wife has arthritis real bad in both knees, and morning she can't hardly get up, and I walked around in the room this morning, and I say this as humble as I can. I worked in the mines long enough